This podcast is sponsored by Cloud Optimizer.
As a business owner or IT manager, are your cloud investment costs going up and you don't know why? It's time for Cloud Optimizer. As you migrate your business to the cloud, what you're spending and why you're spending it can get a little hazy. But Cloud Optimizer clears up the mystery and puts the cloud to work for you. Cloud Optimizer starts by analyzing usage patterns, right-sizing resources, leveraging discounts you may not be aware of, implementing automation, and much more. And by reducing unnecessary expenses and maximizing performance, Cloud Optimizer guarantees you a savings of 5 times what you spend for their service. As you utilize cloud-based services more and more, you don't have to lose sight or control of your spend. You can stay agile, streamline your costs, and optimize your performance, plus save significant money with Cloud Optimizer.
Make the cloud work for you with Cloud Optimizer. Get a free assessment and find out how much you can save by going to cloudoptimizer.com. Go to cloudoptimizer.com for your free assessment. That's cloudoptimizer.com.
Good. Another episode of The Sweet Life. Malik Rashid here with my dog, Chief Johnson. What's good, bro?
What's the word, man? Been a minute.
Man, too long. Feels like too long, but, you know, it's just a couple of weeks. What's good with you? You back at the crib?
Yeah, back at the crib. The Vegas was dope. Crazy weather, though. It took us 16 hours to get from Vegas back to California. Like, I ain't never seen no storms like this before. I mean, thank God we got back safe. I guess it's good because it's helping a little bit with the drought that, you know, California's been in for many, many years. So I ain't going to complain too much, but I'm ready for some spring and summer.
I'm definitely ready for some summer weather. Like, this lets me know I definitely couldn't live in Seattle or London or Oregon or none of them places where, you know, 50% or whatever of the year's torrential downpour. Not me at all. I'd be fucking depressed, bro. But it's all good. The sun is out, you know what I mean? So many things to be to sit in gratitude, hold space for gratitude. You know what I mean? But, just want to jump into this conversation, man. Jump in, you know, let's just talk about whatever. You know, nothing specific. What's on your mind specifically today?
Man, just trying to really catch up with all things going on in sports, you know, from NBA, NFL, free agency. But, I mean, really, like, you know, all the stuff that's going on in collegiate athletes, you know, especially on the men's side, and these senseless deaths, and, you know, it's really sad, man. Like, you know, especially, I mean, no instance is worse than the other, but I was just seeing Jalen Carter from UGA. They issued an arrest warrant for him, and, you know, you're talking about a guy that's supposed to go
potentially number one off the board.
Yeah, if not top three for sure. And, you know, his life potentially
is going to change.
Really going to change dramatically. You know, the other kid at Alabama.
Brandon Miller.
Yeah, you know.
Top 10, top 5 pick. Yeah. Obviously, we don't know all the ins and outs, but I know that, you know, obviously he was asked by his teammate to bring a gun to the teammate, and then that teammate killed someone. And then, which is shocking to me, is that he's still on the court. I'm not judging him. I don't know Brandon. I don't know his family. I don't know his circumstances. But I feel like it's a little different. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, someone asked you to bring a gun to them, there's nothing, you know, he wasn't asking you to bring him a rifle so he could go camping. I mean, excuse me, go hunting. He's asking you to bring him a firearm. The other part of it is you have to have some sort of awareness and just be like, yo, first of all, like, I'm potentially putting my future, I am putting my future in your hands by giving you, handing you a gun, and then whatever can go happen, you know, I'm sort of the conduit, you know what I mean? Like, I don't get the thinking, and I feel as if, like, you know, we pick and choose the things that we are upset about, like, right? Like, everybody's like, oh, you know, whatever, when Deion Sanders was, a couple of months ago, leaving Jackson to go to Colorado, everybody's up in arms, but nobody's up in arms about this kid who gave someone a handgun and then proceeded 2 days later to do being introduced, does a skit where he's getting patted down. Like, are you fucking tone deaf? Like, what are we talking about right now? Like,
yeah. And I don't know what it is, man. I don't know if it's like, because in college athletics, kids are no longer going to school, especially star athletes are no longer going to school for 4 years. Are the coaches, are the counselors, are people not pouring into them as much because they're like, oh, they're going to be here for a year of school or maybe 2 years. Like, I feel like the mentorship and coaches being an extension of a parent, you know, and the staff being there, like, what is going on behind the scenes that are making these kids feel like I need to have a gun at school in New Mexico? And like you said, the lack of judgment to why a friend would call you and say, bring me a gun, for you not to think like, wow, you're obviously going to be doing something that's putting everybody in jeopardy. You know, I just feel like, man, there's the Michigan State tragedy. There's, you know, the kid at the New Mexico State, you know, Mike Peake that killed that other student. Like, what is going on behind the scenes that is wreaking havoc on these young men's life to cause them, you know, to make such terrible decisions?
I think,
where's the accountability at?
Yeah, you know? I think, you know, you touched upon it. We are removed from the days of, you know, John Chaney at Temple. We are removed from the days of John Thompson at Georgetown, Dean Smith at North Carolina, you know, guys that were like, yo, like, hold up. There's a standard academically, but more importantly, as and I'm sure all programs have their moments, but more often than not, it was about, yo, you're going to show up and you're going to, first of all, I'm going to help you develop as a man, as just a person, and then I'm going to help you develop your skill set and help you when you leave here. Hopefully you'll know how to navigate the next part of your life. You know, I've helped you at least get you started on your way. And then again, the accountability to yourself, to teammates, to the university, it feels like that's long gone. And I think one of the reasons that we have that is because you, again, like you said, the players are there, especially NCAA basketball. It's one and done. And now that they've introduced NIL to sports, period, you further create just fucking chaos, because now you got college athletes getting paid. Listen, I believe everybody should get their money. I have no problem with a kid getting his money. I have no problem with a kid, you know, being able to take care of his family. As soon as people are making money off of him, he should be able to, you know what I mean, tap into that and be able to, you know, help out his family. I was watching, I was rewatching the documentary Stand with Chris Jackson, now Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf. And he was, you know, he declared early because he said he went home one weekend to his mom's house and he was just washing his face in the basin. and he put his hand on the sink, and the sink just fell to the ground, right? And then there was no heat, and there was literally no food in the refrigerator and all these things. And he was like, yo, I need to, you know, I'm on the front of Sports Illustrated. I'm eating a number of meals a day. I'm traveling. I got, you know, I get all of these things due to my God-given talent. And so, again, I'm back. I'm okay with players receiving money. I think that they need to find a different way because, one, you put a target on the player's back, right? Because that the kid who's the incoming freshman who's, you know, signed for $1 million and doesn't have someone telling him, like, yo, man, don't pull up in the school in the G-Wagon. Don't pull up in the school in the Phantom or the Benz. Like, pull up in school in a cool car. Have some clothes on your back, but still you are amongst teammates that are not getting what you're getting. And it needs, like, you know what I'm saying? You need to, like, you just need to know how to navigate it, man. It's just, it's terrible. It's, again, the schools, I think that they, because the kids are only there 1 year or not even a full year sometimes, especially again, basketball, it's just for that season. You're not seeing the mentorship. You're not seeing, like you said, the extension, you know, a surrogate father or something like that. You're not getting that.
And you don't have any players that are on the team that are in their third and fourth year because
they're older.
Everybody's gone. Yep. And even with the NIL stuff and the bread, you know, adult athletes who are signing big time contracts still have to go home and take care of family and people, and that's pressure on an adult. Now you're asking a 17, 18-year-old who's getting a little money in his pocket to be able to, like, you know, navigate this money and navigate fame. And it's just a lot. And I don't think the Sports Institute, period, from, you know, I'm sure they do a little bit of a better job now at the professional level, but the collegiate level, we know it's always been a money-making thing. And there are amazing coaches, I'm sure, and amazing, you know, mentors. But there needs to be things in place now that is really, really trying to help guide these kids, man. Because if you can't find that in your coach and, you know, the people on campus, like, what about your brothers on the team? You know, you don't have nobody that's telling you, like, yo, what are you packing for anyway? Like, and what are you?
And again, I agree. And again, I think it's the way this is all set up. Even now, you got the transfer portal, right? So the transfer portal is basically the coach said something to me I didn't like. I want to leave. I'm not going to start. I'm going to leave. Yo, what happened to the days of, like, okay, you didn't start as a freshman. You didn't start as a sophomore. I'm specifically right now, I'm talking to the gridiron. I'm talking between the hash marks football. But, like, in your third year, you started. You still were an All-American. Then your fourth year, you were back, and you were still a high draft pick. You got your degree. You got some life lessons, 4 years of college. You waited your turn. You know what I'm saying? And listen, there's no problem with you not having to wait your turn. If you have that ability and you can go out there, because we know there are anomalies. There are a lot of anomalies. There are a lot of great athletes. But it's just, again, there's no responsibility. Everybody is just like, there's entitlement. Oh, I'm not playing. I'm not this. I'm leaving. I'm going to go get me a bag somewhere else. I'm going to go get somebody else who's going to give me a little bit more. And I get the business part of it. But there's got to be, you know, I understand now in hindsight why there used to be rules like, okay, you transfer, you got to sit out a year. Are you going to lose that year? Because if you allow just this to just happen, somebody can just get in a transfer portal just so easily and just, and then we're going to be creating superpower teams in collegiate sports like we are in the NFL.
Well, if you look at it, I mean, a lot of the athletes that they're at their top of their game didn't go to huge colleges, were behind somebody else, had to put in that work. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. you look at a Josh Allen, you look at Patrick Mahomes, you look at Ja Morant, you know, he didn't go to Duke. He didn't go to
Murray State.
He went to Murray State. He put in that work, you know, and it's about that. Again, you always say you can't circumvent the work. And I think because the power, the pressure of social media and our pride and mm-hmm. our you know, you're the man in high school, so you walk onto campus and you think you're automatically supposed to be that person there too. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of things, and it all comes down to mental to me, man. It's there are people that are strong enough to handle that mentally and can navigate that, but there are a lot of kids and a lot of adults who can't do that. So what are these things that are actually put in place to help that? You know what I mean? And that's why I love what Deion is doing. You talked about Deion. He's very transparent. He's very, you know, hard on these, but he has expectations. You know what I mean? He holds.
How do you feel about the statement he just made?
About the defensive.
the two-parent home quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, it's controversial. It's pretty crazy to say, but I mean, I don't agree with it because, you know, that's not something you celebrate, I don't think. Like, you don't, like, as a kid growing up in a non-two-parent home, you don't be like, oh, you know what I mean? Like, at least I can go play defensive end. You know, like, you're not, that's nothing to celebrate, you know what I mean? And I, you know, I think those kind of things are detrimental. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? I think those kind of things, those are the kind of narratives and things we got to get away from, man. You know what uh-huh. I mean? So, because uh-huh. a kid could take that and be like, oh, I didn't come from a two-parent home, so I guess I'm not good enough to play quarterback. And it's crazy to think that people wouldn't, you would think nobody's dumb enough to think like that. And that's not true, though, because we listen to especially stars and celebrities and people that we look up to. A lot of the things they say hold so much weight. So uh-huh. a kid who's highly impressionable may take that and be like, oh, I'm from a single parent home. Uh-huh. So, you know, I can't go play for him there. You know uh-huh. what I mean? Uh-huh. So we have to get away from those things, man. Again, and I hope, you know, I wish we can stay away from those things that make the headlines, that are all about like headlines, and really start figuring out how do we implement more mental health things for these kids. How do we make sure, like, even if we know they ain't going to be at school for more than a year, you know, how do we set them up to be successful and not make bad decisions? You know, we all go through it. They're kids, right?
They're kids, yeah.
You know, so they need a little bit more extra. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I just pray and hope, like, the NCAA is looking at this and being like, okay, what can we do? What do we need to do to implement this to make sure that we're setting these kids up for whatever their path is, whether it's professional or after school or, you know, they may not make it, like setting them up for success.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I also think that it's gotta be the responsibility of the, you know, again, some of the coaches. I'm not saying that coaches can, they're not, you know, they're human too. But, you know, these coaches recruit these players and tell these parents that, again, you're getting an extension of your household by allowing your son, daughter, whoever to come and play for me. And I think that they should be held to that, you know, taking a task about that. Like, okay, so if this was, you know, the coach, if I'm talking to the coach, so this is, you know, this is my child, but now this is your child. I need you to make sure he's in class. And if he's not in class, you need to call me. I don't need you. Not the third time that it happens, not when it becomes public and it's on the ticker across ESPN that, you know, he hasn't been going to school. And there's these things that led up to all this trouble early on. Also, you know, again, if the parents can, because everybody's situation is different, you know, if they can be, but again, that's why they say it takes a village. You need a cohesive village. So again, the coach, the parents or parent or whatever the circumstances is, circumstances are, you just need to develop a circle, again, a village around these kids, community around these kids, communities that genuinely care about them far after that they leave that campus. You know what I mean? Because the kids already feel away. You know, they feel, all of them, you can tell, whether it's, I mean, the branding now starts in 9th and 10th grade, and there's all these big deals and everything. So, like, the love of the game, it's got to be there as much as the love of, you know, the money and all these other things. And I think we're all kind of like, I think people are blinded by the money and just kind of like, yeah, that's okay. He's, you know, I'm not. It's okay because of the money. Like, that behavior is acceptable. So I want to see more. I want to see more community around these players. We got to hold people to higher standards because as soon as these kids go left, it's over for them. You know what I mean? They're nailed to the cross and they may not get a second chance. So before it gets to that, like, let's pour into them. Let's help them. So I want to see more community around the kids, man.
Yeah, and the kids got to be more coachable. Yep. And the media needs to be more coachable because they add a lot of fuel to the fire also, too. Mm-hmm. Just in general, man, like, we have to remember that behind everything, we're all human, and we all need compassion and grace and love, and sometimes that love is tough love. Mm-hmm. And again, going back to when you're talking about the transfer portal and these things, like, these kids, like you said, the coach, if I was the coach, that kid from Alabama, and he did that pat down, he would have, I would have sent him right back to the locker room. You ain't playing tonight.
Yeah. You know ain't playing, like, for a couple nights.
How come nobody's interviewing the coach? Like, why is this kid still playing? That's the kind of journalism we should be asking. Yeah. You know, regardless of what's going on, why was, you know, Jalen Carter, if that happened in January, why was he able to, you know, like, all these things, man. And then it comes out during draft time, and this kid's life is probably ruined no matter what's going on. Like, he's not getting drafted now. You know what I mean?
You think?
Absolutely not. You can't.
I don't know what the warrant was for.
Reckless driving, and I think somebody died.
I know mm-hmm. I know that his teammate and the girl who was the sports, whatever, at his school, they died in the crash, but he was in a separate car. I guess they were racing.
Oh, okay.
So okay. I don't know what that carries or whatever. It's just sad, period. It's just, you know, sad.
But it's, you know, just, again, like, the NFL is a little bit different because it's only about business, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, they look at those things, character, right? You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like, you're young, but.
And our character is looked at a little bit
different, right? We don't get the kind of grace that a lot of other people get.
Yeah.
You know, but again, it's like the decision making, you know, you have to, you know, instill in these kids at a young age, the decision making at this age affects everything moving forward.
What do they say? Something that takes a couple of seconds can affect your whole life.
Yeah.
Just a couple of seconds. So, yeah.
And I pray, you know, I hope that these young men, women, or whoever's, you know, they're going through these things, that they learn. It's a teachable moment, maybe really, really huge, and that they can salvage, you know, their mm-hmm. life out of it and understand that life's not over, mm-hmm. but this is going to throw you a curveball, mm-hmm. and how you proceed forward with that is going to be the testament, because a lot of the other thing with these kids and why it's so important to have mentorship and people behind you is that you tend to think life is over when something happens like this. You know what I mean? And we have to show people that, no, this doesn't have to mean life is over. This could be a renewal. This could be
a reset.
This could be, you can still chase your dreams. You can still go out and be the best you can. So don't continue, because a lot of kids that get in trouble and then they're like, I might as well just keep messing up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, no, and listen,
we go through that. We go through that as adults. If you've been at, you know, you've been in my case, an executive at a major corporation, and, you know, you're relieved of your duties and you're like, yo, you know what I'm saying? Like, because that's also how we sort of sometimes we're not even aware of it. But that's how we like define ourselves by that title. I'm the vice president, or I'm the senior executive vice president, or I'm the COO. Like, and so when those things, you know, when there's a change and we're no longer, that title is no longer attached to you, you can feel empty, you know, if you don't have, sure, like, if you don't have a base, and if you don't have, and even if you have a base, shit, if you, like, it's just, it can cause some real turbulence. So with that said, we all need, again, like you said, we all need grace, empathy, and we need to understand, like you said, that it's not over. It can be a reset. It can also be utilized as a tool to help you maybe discover your real voice, something maybe to discover that, to hear. Because in those times of turbulence, that's when you really finally sit down and like begin to take stock in a number of things. And in doing so, you will identify the things that are truly important, and hopefully you pour into those things, and out of that springs your real calling. Yeah. You know what I mean? So again, it can be a reset, and not to say it's going to be that dramatic in, you know, Jalen Carter's case, or, you know, hopefully the kid, you know, he will learn a tremendous amount from this moment, and it will teach him to keep the people who really care about him extremely close, and help him make better decisions. And he will go into the NFL and, you know, hopefully have an amazing career, Hall of Fame career, or whatever is going to happen. But again, it's just about, we all need to from time to time take moments and reset. I think the resets are actually even like weekly for myself. Like, I'll be at the end of the week or maybe in the middle of the week, and I'll just like need those moments to sit back and just sort of assess like how I'm moving, things that I want to improve on. Just there's a number of things, but you got to stay close to you, if that makes sense. You got to stay close. You got to stay trying to all the time. Like, you know, it's an ongoing process. And so if we have to go through it as adults, imagine what these kids go through. But again, we also have to not be afraid to sort of, if you want to call it a testimony, to have those kind of moments, because those moments of you being radically transparent and not acting like you're sitting perched atop somewhere and being condescending, but being transparent, those moments help kids. Those moments help other people. With you being honest about what you've been through, it helps them. So,
yeah,
I hope we see.
Get yourself some real ones around you. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, it's such an old saying, but like, you show me the people around you, and I can tell what kind of person you're gonna be, or who you are. You know? And just especially for young adults, man. Like, it's your proximity, you know,
proximity,
a lot of times can make or break you. There's a lot of people probably sitting in prison or dead because, you know, they're around the wrong people. You know, yeah. I'm testament of that. Like, growing up, spend a lot of time around the wrong people, mm-hmm. and always not necessarily about violence, but it could be the way you think about yourself, your outlook on life. You know, your motivation and drive, you know. So, again, like, being, allowing teachable moments, aligning yourself with people who have goals and visions, and they don't necessarily, you don't have to be around, everybody wants to play D1. You may have a friend who wants to be an architect. This guy wants to be, you know, a doctor, but just people who have goals and dreams and are in line in what you're trying to do, your wavelength. And that helps. You know, life, like you said, life is going to life. There's always going to be circumstances, but understand your circumstance right now doesn't have to dictate, you know, your future.
So. Speaking of great, you know, like having mentors and, great people to sort of model yourself after. And that, and when I say that, that doesn't mean someone's perfect. But being that it's Women's History Month, I saw an amazing piece on C. Vivian Stringer, who is, I think she's the current coach at Rutgers, but she's coached at like 3 or 4 different universities. Mm-hmm. But her first job was at a school called Cheney in Philadelphia, and she is the only Division I coach to take a historically black college to the Final Four. They played in the Final Four in 1982 against Louisiana Tech. They lost, but they played in the Final Four, a historical black college who didn't have any sort of, you know, didn't have the same, you know, facilities and all these different things. And they ended up playing in the Final Four. I saw it. So with that being said, like, you know, to the Vivian Stringers, to the Don Staley's, you know, who's at South Carolina, who is now becoming the coach. I love Don Staley always. She was just, Don Staley was it. You know what I'm saying? So, like, celebrating women. And we've had amazing women on our show, whether it be Liz Hernandez, Dreka Gates, Nicole, Ashley Calhoun, Kiki Palmer, Micaiah Green, Lexi Underwood. You know, we've been fortunate enough to share energy and our platform with those fantastic women. So I wanted to make sure that we, you know, gave them their due, and then also the women, you know, around us in our lives, mothers. Mothers of children, of our children, people, you know, other women that we know, man. Like, I'm, you know, huge advocate for women. Obviously, being a dad, you know, dad to a daughter, you know, what they say, a daddy, a girl dad, and all of that. Like, so again, wanted to make sure that we recognized way beyond this day, you know, just the contributions that have been made on so many fronts by women, women of color. Just women. Just wanted to take a moment and celebrate absolutely, them. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Celebrated all month. But yeah, man.
All month.
Dope chopping it up, catching up. You know what I mean? Yeah. Again, we appreciate all of our family, our community, who's wrapped their arms around a sweet life. You know, I think we're close to going on 6 months, which, you know, seems like a lot longer.
Episode 24.
You know what I'm saying? Big Kobe.
You know what I'm saying? Big Kobe, even though I got the 8, but yeah.
Make sure you subscribe, download wherever you get your podcast at. And we're going to continue to push what we're doing, and that's positivity, love, advocacy. And we'll see y'all soon.
Peace. A
sweet life. Let's go.
Sweet life. All right. Appreciate you, bro.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.